We got a lot of problems with pride, even amongst saved people. And we can pick it out in others, but I'm gonna ask that the Word of God picks us apart for the next few minutes here regarding the spiritual secret sins of pride. Lord, do I ask for your help as we try to get some discernment. We talked about this morning between good and evil. Help us to recognize pride in our own hearts and our own lives so we can be better servants and purer vessels to be used by you. In Jesus' name, amen. In Proverbs chapter number 8, the Bible says in verse number 13, Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And then that colon there follows by the first word, pride. And arrogancy in the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. Pride, it's the opposite of humility. And by way of introduction, I think we can all agree, God hates pride. So when we set ourselves too high, God hates that. And if our life causes us to speak too much about ourselves, God don't like that. If God won't allow it. If we allow despising others to rise up in our hearts and our minds, God don't like that. And prideful people are very good at creating their own little doctrine that's secretly hidden in their own heart, and that is this, that they trust themselves. And God hates it. We set up our own righteousness, we set up our own intellect, we set up our own will, and we rise ourselves high, and inwardly, that's what we desire. Outwardly, of course, we would never admit that. Outwardly, we know how to disguise it. It's the inward secret sins of pride that ruins a lot of not only Christian relationships, but church relations, churches too. Because saved people are sitting in pews and coming under the same roof. Hey, brother, hey, sister. But inwardly, they got a lot of pride that is rooted up in their heart. And a lot of churches split, and a lot of families split, and a lot of individual relationships with friends and co-workers, they split. And it's because of pride. Pride and arrogancy. Look at Proverbs 6. Proverbs chapter 6, look at verse 16. Sure, we all are familiar with this verse. Many of you have been saved for any length of time. I'm sure you've read it many, many, many times. Yea, six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. There's the colon again. And watch what's listed first. Pride. A proud look. And pride renders you, it renders everybody unable to be the recipient of grace. They're two incompatible things. That's why 1 Peter 5:5 says, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth who? The proud, and he giveth grace to who? You're not going to get, if you're puffed up in pride, if I'm puffed up in pride, you can forget about, if you're saved and your heart is full of pride, you are never going to truly be able to be gracious towards someone else. Because with pride in your heart, it's an impossible compatibility. It don't work. So if we have secret sins of spiritual pride, we can act like we're being gracious outwardly, and we may fool some people, but we're not fooling God. I'm talking about getting our hearts right. I'm talking about getting our hearts right. Because if you got a clean heart, you can do a lot for God. And I want us all to be able to do a lot for God. We can get a lot done if we have our hearts clean. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, look at verse 23. This is great. A man's pride shall bring him where? Low. We think we're exalting ourselves and we're so holy and holier than thou and all that. But a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. We see the same thing, that contrast between pride and humility. All pride does is bring us low. We think it brings us high. What was Lucifer's problem? Pride. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. That's God's place. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. So what did God do? He cast him down. Why? Because he was full of pride. What did he do? Proverbs 29, he brought him low. He brought him low. Pride always brings us low. And that's just the way it goes. It was Adam's problem. In Genesis 3, the serpent said, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods," right? Little g gods, knowing good and evil. You know what brought Adam and Eve low? Their desire to be as gods. They thought they were going to get some knowledge of good, and they were going to get all this exaltation, and all it did is cast them down. Pride always brings us low. It's always going to happen. Go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, look at verse number 5. Proverbs 16, verse number 5. Everyone that is proud in what? Heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. In your heart, if you're harboring pride, God says, it's an absolute abomination. You don't want to have any heart, any pride in your heart. How do I have pride in my heart? If we're always thinking about, man, this is going to make me look good. Man, look, our heart is full of, look at how successful I am. Look at how independent I am. That's an abomination to God. That's pride in the heart. I believe a lot of independent Baptists have too much independence. A lot of them are independent of the Lord. That's not right. I say cross out the first two letters of independent Baptist. And what do you come up with? A dependent Baptist. What are you? I'm a dependent Baptist. What's that? That's someone that's dependent on the Lord. I think too many people have gotten on their high horse of, I'm an independent Baptist, and I'm this, and I'm that, and I'm that. Are you trying to exalt yourself? That's what I'm asking. If you're not, great. Say it, and amen, I'll believe it. But if it's to be independent of everybody and everything, including accountability or all this stuff, I say we're off. I say we should be dependent Baptists, dependent upon the Lord and each other and getting some abominable pride out of our hearts. How do you feel when someone else is successful? If you feel bad about it, that's because of pride's in your heart. I mean, how do you feel with a guy that's got, 20 head of cattle and they're all healthy and everything's going great at their farm? I mean, how do you feel about them in your heart when you know you got one or two that can kick the bucket any day? It's different, isn't it? It's different. How do we feel about someone else when things are going good in their life? You know what? I want to ask the Lord this afternoon to help me feel good about your success and the good blessings that the Lord has bestowed upon you. You know why? Because pride is sin. That's why. And I don't want to have the pride of sin hidden in my heart, and I trust you don't either. Amen. Amen. All right, Psalm 73. Let's look at another one. Psalm 73. Psalm 73, look at verse number 6. Bible says, verse 6 of Psalm 73, therefore pride compassed them about as a chain. Pride is like an ornament, really. You see people that have, you know, they try to show off the wealth that they have through the gaudy ornaments and the jewelry and, you know, the big rings, the thick necklaces and all that. That's an ornament to show others, you know, they're what the young people say, they're bling, you know, they want to show that off. Well, pride also is an ornament. It's not a physical garment. It's not a physical piece of jewelry, but pride is an ornament. I find it interesting that even outward garments, outward apparel, can be a sign of pride. You know the LGBT community? Pride, the pride group? Don't you find it interesting that a lot of it is, at least what we see, a lot of it is surrounded by their outward apparel? Don't you notice that the way they dress, the colors they wear, the switching of apparel that they do, you notice that all of that surrounded around pride. Man, you go right down to Cookeville downtown, when they do that thing in June, you can see it all come out. You're like, man, you got all the colors, all the stripes. That's pride, all right.
it's almost like the adult equivalent of dangling keys in front of people's faces saying, hey, come here.
You're right. Right. It draws attention. They're wearing that ornament of pride, not only outwardly, but they're harboring it inwardly. In other words, their clothing isn't to be inconspicuous. Their clothing is in such a way so that they would be conspicuous. Because you look and you're like, what in the wild, wild west is that? You know, it's they're not dressing to be decent and conspicuous. No, it's full-blown, we're in sixth gear. It's wide open, man.
They ain't hiding their sin in the dark.
They are not hiding it anymore, brother. And then it goes on to say in verse number 6, violence covereth them as a garment. We see this outward garment being talked about again, but this violence, being cruel, is part of their clothing. Okay? Being cruel is part of their lifestyle. And, you know, if you're around horses, you know this, that different breeds of horses have different gaits. And the gait of the horse is how they walk or how they trot or how they run. And there's certain breeds of horses, you watch them run and you're like, well, that can't be right. It doesn't look right in your mind because you're used to seeing a quarter horse run. Well, when you watch a gaited horse or a walking horse run, it don't look anything like how a quarter horse run. They run completely different. And if you're only used to one, you think something's wrong with the other, but there's nothing wrong with the other. They just have different gaits. Do you know people have different gaits? We all walk different. We all live different. We all have different. It's just people are different. I hope we are the same and that we don't wear violence as our garments. I hope our garments are humility. I hope we're proudly displaying compassion. I hope we have a heart of kindness toward people. I don't want violence to be the garments that I'm known for. Oh, they're not physical garments. It's just the inward sins of pride that's coming out. I believe we should all have the garments of grace, tender mercy. Have you ever said about somebody, you watch a situation play out and you just think to yourself, does that person have any consideration for anybody? Did you ever walk away from something like that? And you're just like, can you even begin to just consider someone else? They can't if their garments are violence. How do I hurt the person? How do I make them feel worse than they already do? That's the garments of violence. It comes from a heart of pride. God help us. God help us. These great acts of violence is their big show. Some people like the blowout. Have you ever met people like that? Have you been like that at some point in your life? Where you're living for getting to the point where the thing blows up. I can't wait till we get to the big fireworks show at the end, where everything just goes off at once and there's sparks flying everywhere. That's the garments of violence. God don't want it. And a prideful person becomes so self-conceited that they become habitually mean. Why is somebody being so mean to somebody else? Pride. Why is it a common everyday occurrence that every time you meet this person, or every time you come into this group, or every time you're part of this, whatever association it is, why does it always seem like there's just habitual meanness? It's from a heart of pride. It's these spiritual sins of pride that are hidden in our heart. God help us to get rid of that garment. Go to Philippians 2. If you've been here any length of time, you know I've told this story before. I taught martial arts for 16 years in New Jersey, and the big thing in martial arts at that time was that parents would enroll their child in martial art classes because they wanted to build their self-esteem. That was a big thing. You know, because kids have to feel good all the time. That's been real fruitful in their life. So what we did is we said, well, we put on our website, and then the first time we'd have a sample class, and we had a little meeting with the parents. We put on our website because people want to know, well, why should I come check out your school? So I'd say, well, because we're the only school in the area that doesn't teach self-esteem. Now, this is after I got saved, we went to that. Because this verse really smote my heart. And I kept thinking to myself, why do we keep teaching people about self-esteem? Self-esteem is the problem. Self's the problem. Young people, point at yourself for a second. And, yeah, older people, point at yourself. Say, I'm the problem.
I'm the problem.
You can say it. You're not going to drop dead of a heart attack, young people. Point to yourself and say, I'm the problem.
I'm the problem.
We think too high of ourselves. Watch what Philippians 2. Watch what Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 3 says. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each, what's the word? Esteem other better than themselves. It sounds to me like self-esteem is the problem and esteeming others is the solution. So I'd meet with them and I'd say, so we're not going to teach your child self-esteem, and here's why. Because self-esteem is the problem, and here's the solution. You're going to come to class and you're going to learn how to get along with little Johnny. And you're going to learn how to stand at attention. And you're going to learn how to say yes, sir. And when you go home, you're going to say yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, to your mom and dad. And you're basically going to learn how to treat other people better because, well, you're just concerned with self-esteem. If we continually have to feel good about ourselves, that's pride. God wants us to think about building someone else up. When people come to the church house on Sunday morning or midweek service or any type of gathering, the idea is to build up the saints. I mean, you get beat up through the week and then you come and have the preacher just keep kicking you when you're down. Yeah, man, yeah, that's great, yeah. No, look, and some of that comes through some conviction, some of that comes through some hard messages, but the idea behind it, the motive behind it is to be able to build up. Think of others, help them grow. If you desire, or if I desire, to attract attention, receive applause, God says it's vain glory. In other words, the motive is vain. We want the self-glory, not to God be the glory. Have we sung "To God be the glory"? Do we say "Praise God"? Let's live it. Let's live it. The sin of pride watches somebody do something well and then thinks to themselves, yeah, I could do better. Yeah. Or they think, well, how come I didn't have a turn? I'm better at that. That's pride. It's pride. Young people, let me hear you say, pride. Yeah, that'll help you remember it. Add a little pride, pride. But the discipline, what does it say in verse 3? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but here's the discipline. But in lowliness of mind, discipline yourself to have some lowliness of mind. And that means you're going to try to find the good in someone else. You're going to try to compliment the other person. You're going to try to see them do something well and say, praise God that He gifted you in that way. Now, it's a blessing to me to hear a report. Yesterday, outreach went on for an hour and a half. Tracts went out. The truth was made known. People were talked to. And you know who wasn't there? The preacher. Because it's not the preacher's job. Well, it is my job. Let me say that better. It's not exclusively the preacher's job. It's the body of Christ. It's all of us. So when the brother comes in and starts testifying, I am more happy about them being out there doing something for God. I mean, they had someone come out for the first time to do public ministry. That's a blessing. And I'm telling you, we can get pride out of our heart. We can have a whole local body of Christ. Our local body of Christ can be out doing something for God and no one's worrying about, well, where's the preacher? I thought he's supposed to be here. Well, where's Brother such and such? I thought he was supposed to be here. Or, well, you know, he's talking to that guy. But, you know, if I talk to him, I do a better job. Amen. And you just kill the whole. You just put on garments of violence is what you do. And we kill the whole thing. It ain't God's fault. It's just that God's people sometimes have a hard time getting that spiritual secret sins of pride out of their heart. Praise God somebody talked to somebody else about the Lord. Praise God that he said, I didn't know what I was doing, but I did the best I can and I told him about Jesus. Praise the Lord. Be happy for someone else doing something for God. Go to Colossians 2. We'll look at this as the last one. Colossians 2. This one's a tough one. Verse 21, Colossians 2, let's start at verse number 20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. And we like creating our own doctrines. It makes us feel good inside. Verse 23, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility. What type of humility is that? That's false humility. So the last thing I'd like to speak to you about is the danger of false humility, because it's in the Bible. And neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So false humility for a Christian is to make them look spiritual, but they're really not spiritual. It's to make somebody sound humble, but they're really not humble. So you just make up a doctrine. Well, bless God, you'll really be called to preach if you're wearing a white shirt and a tie that's this wide and you dress this certain way and praise the Lord. What did that person do? They just made up a doctrine. It don't mean nothing. It don't mean nothing. It's just we create these things in our mind and we act like God gave it to us. God never gave it to us. People take their opinions and their convictions and they make it a doctrine. And they do that because they're insecure about themselves. And so trying to get everybody to rally around their commandment of man, but it's just false humility. It's a secret hidden sin of pride. And I think we should just be thankful that we don't, Lord willing, we won't get into creating secret doctrines of men. I mean, if something frustrates me, I can certainly come up with one.
No doubt.
Yeah, right. You with me? You parent? You've been parenting. Yep, time for a new doctrine, amen, around this house. if we're not careful, we'll start doing that at the church house. Look, there's a lot of people. All of us need some cleaning up. Would you agree? I need some cleaning up. I mean, it's easy for the preacher's wife to point out, you know, you can preach something, then you go home and you don't live it, and it's like, man, that's convicting right there. I'm getting that look again. I just told you what the Bible said. I didn't say I can live it, amen. If you want to try to force somebody to look a certain way outwardly, you come up with the commandments of men, and you preach that thing all day long. And you got everybody preaching the same way, dressing the same way, you know, thinking the same way on every single thing. And the last time I looked out in God's creation, I don't know, I've been taking trees down for the last couple months now. Man, there's a lot of different trees. They all look different. They have different leaves. They have different bark. Inside, I told my wife, I took down this big old tree. It must have been... Well, no, it was bigger than that. It had some width to it. I opened that tree, I looked, I told her, I said, these trees, these woods, when you get this wood down and you look inside, it's like beautiful. She don't care. But to me, looking at that, I thought that was absolutely gorgeous that God could grow something like that. But there are so many different species of trees. I think we should just praise God that we're different. I'm not talking about different doctrine. We are like-minded. We're yoked equally, believers. We understand salvation. All of that stuff is right and good. We need to be in agreement. I'm talking about, you know, the mark of a cult is every... You look at the Mormons. How do the Mormon boys dress? All the same. All the same. And you know how the sermons are going to sound? All the same. And you know what answers the ladies are going to give you when you ask them a question? It's all the same. Nobody's allowed to think. Nobody's allowed to think. You talk with a Jehovah's Witness and you try to get them tied up, which I typically do. I don't know if that's pride or not, but it's always amazing to me that as soon as you trip them up, they got to go right to that JW app, man. They are not thinking. They're going right to that app, and that app's going to give them their answer. What is that? That's a cult. You're taught not to think. And what happens is we end up with a masking of hearts full of pride. And we mask our heart that's full of pride. We mask it with false humility. So what genuinely humility does, it relies on who? The Lord. Genuine humility relies on the Holy Spirit. False humility relies on self. Believe me, the Holy Spirit will do a work in your life. Amen. We don't need to create a man-made show. We have the Holy Spirit in our hearts. We don't need to manufacture an outward big to do. The Holy Spirit is powerful enough to do a radical change in your life, brother. A radical change in your life, sister.
If He's powerful enough to save us, there ain't no telling what else He can do.
That's right. That's right. And God help us to make something look like something it isn't. False humility is the person that twists the story just a little bit so that they can get someone to praise them. That's false humility. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that church. Anybody get some help? We really didn't list big bad wolf individual sins, but we sure did spend a lot of time describing how individuals sin in secret. You know what that's the nature of? Our old flesh. Our old flesh. So if we want lost people to trust that we have something at least considering, we might need to do some house cleaning and get our own secret, private sins of spiritual pride out of our hearts. It'll help us all. It'll help us individually. It'll help our family. It'll help our church family. Amen. And as a result of that, it will affect the community. So let's do that this week.